Hello, and welcome to I Watch This As an Adult, the podcast where I review movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week, I review 1997's Babs.
If you want to support the podcast, hit the support the podcast button. Whatever you donate helps the podcast grow. And follow the podcast on Instagram at I Watch This As an Adult, all one word, to keep up on what's going on with the podcast.
Alright, so, Babs from 1997, I'm here with my special guest again. Say your name.
Brashana.
Yeah, we got Brashana here from the Hocus Pocus podcast that we did last week. But you know how I like to, you know how I like to start this podcast off.
Right.
How we saw the movie. How did you see the movie?
You know, when I was a kid, I didn't really pay too much attention about the movie. It was a here and there. Like, you know how you see bits and pieces of the parts of the movie, but you didn't really sit down and watch it from the beginning to the end? That was my situation.
Okay. How I saw the movie was my mom rented, like, a bunch of movies from, like, Blockbuster.
Yes.
And my mom rented, for me, she rented The Replacement Killers.
Wow.
And Mr. Nice Guy.
Wow.
Mr. Nice Guy was with it was a Jackie Chan film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Replacement Killers was with Chow Yun-Fat.
Oh, okay. But that's the titles. I was thinking maybe it was, you know, was it very violent, rated R?
Replacement Killers was very rated R.
But that was the 90s. Our parents allow us to watch everything.
Yeah.
Well, not porn, but you know,
yeah,
just like, rated R movies. So.
Yeah, I found porn on my own. But anyway, but my mom also rented Babs. So that was another movie that she rented that for her, and I just happened to watch it with her, and that was the only time I actually watched that movie. Us watching it for the review of this podcast, that was the second time I've ever watched that movie.
Wow.
Yeah, I've never.
Do you still remember it though?
Do I still remember it?
Just by the first take of it when you were young.
From watching it when I was a kid, yeah, I remember a little bit, most of it, a little bit of it. I remember, I want to say maybe like 50% of it from when I was a kid. And when we watched it again is when it started like coming back to me, you know, all the stuff. And I just wanted to see it just to see if when I was a kid, I don't even think that I even really cared about that movie as a kid, honestly. But I just wanted to see it just to see if I cared, you know. As an adult.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, maybe I didn't understand it as a kid. Maybe I'll understand it as an adult. You know, maybe I'll get it now. Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, anyway, we're getting into this movie. I never noticed that Robert Townsend directed it.
Yeah. Me either.
Yes. It was like, when they say directed by Robert Townsend, I was like, Robert Townsend? I was like, because Robert Townsend did Hollywood Shuffle.
Yes,
and he did The Five Heartbeats.
Yes, I love The Five Heartbeats.
Yes. And that's probably one that's coming up. I don't know, but stay tuned. And Meteor Man is most likely one coming up also. But
I actually liked Meteor Man when I was a kid.
Yeah, I liked Meteor Man as a kid too. He was the first black superhero.
True.
Yeah, like he was so good. I'm gonna save him for the. I'm gonna save the facts for the Meteor Man review.
Right.
I'll save that. but didn't notice he did that. But by this time, he had kind of went downhill, you know, Robert Townsend. So I can understand him doing this, because, like, I think I looked at like Robert Townsend's filmography, and it's not a lot. It's not a lot to be, you know, it gets a little messy.
They think Baps is one of his worst or not his good films.
I'm not sure. I'm like, we'll find out. But and he was also doing that that sitcom, The Parenthood.
Yes,
he I think did. Around this time too. So like you know, ain't got a lot of time to direct and you're doing a sitcom, you know.
Yeah, it was a hectic schedule.
It was hectic. But
that makes sense.
But yeah, we start off with these two waitresses in Atlanta. We got Niecy, played by Halle Berry. And then we got Mickey, played by a newcomer, Natalie Dassel. This was her first movie, actually. So they're waitresses. They're working in Atlanta. They hate their job. We got a quick Bernie Mac cameo.
We got a quick Bernie Mac cameo. I didn't know.
Yeah.
He was in there.
He's only in there for like 2 seconds.
Right.
It's like 2 seconds and he's gone. You know? It's like, that's it. We also got a Rudy Ray Moore cameo in here. Dolomite. He's at the beginning of the movie. Like, I think she's like serving him and stuff like that. And I think they even like made like a wink and a nod. They're like, yeah, that's Dolomite. You know?
Is that him where he said his toast was too burnt?
Yes.
And she like scraped off the black stuff from the toast and handed it to him?
Yes. That was Rudy Ray Moore.
No fresh toast.
No fresh toast for Dolomite.
Right. It's Dolomite. God.
But yeah. So like, the first part of the movie, how did you feel about the first part of the movie? Because, like, I really didn't really get anything.
Me neither. You
know? It was just so confusing.
It was confusing, the way it started off.
You know, it was just a whole bunch of... It was just a whole bunch of nothing.
It was.
This was a whole bunch of nothing. You know, you got them, you met the boyfriends, right?
Yes.
And then they go to a club... They get hit on by these other two dudes, you know. And it's
that's no different than their last boyfriend.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it until we get to like the real plot of them going to LA to become video girls, because Niecy sees a TV spot.
Yeah, Niecy saw like. Like something with her mom said. She said, if you see the same thing 3 times for 3 different places, and that's like your calling, your blessing. So she saw a dancing edition in a magazine, one in the radio, and another one in the magazine. And she was like, that is it. We're going to California,
yeah,
LA, and I'm going to become a dancer.
Yeah. Yeah, because like the last time they saw the TV spot on the TV, mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah, this is it. And so they went to LA to go dance for Heavy D, and they did that. And another thing about this movie mm-hmm. is like, did they recruit just like every Def Comedy Jam comedian that was hot at the time?
Yes, they did.
Because... the two boyfriends are comedians. Mm-hmm. They're like Def Jam comedians, that guys that have been on Def Jam.
Yes.
One of the guys that hit on Niecy in the club.
Yes.
The guy that was hitting on her. He's a Def Jam comedian. Mm-hmm. Right. There's just a bunch of like just like Def Jam comedians from the past that it like that really dates this movie.
It does.
It really, really dates this movie because I'm like, wow, none of those guys are around anymore. Mm-hmm. I remember all of these dudes in the 90s, but none of them are here anymore. None of them went on to be big, except Bernie Mac.
Right.
Bernie Mac is the only one in this movie that went on to be big, and he's only in the movie for like 2 seconds.
I guess he was gonna help the movie out, I guess.
I don't know, man. Because like Bernie Mac wasn't the Bernie Mac that we know.
That's true.
You know, at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, like he was actually still establishing himself. So he's only in the movie for like 2 seconds and he's gone, but he became the biggest star out of all of these people.
Right.
But another thing I noticed, there's a scene, I think it's the club scene. There's a club scene. Halle Berry is wearing X earrings.
X earrings?
Yes.
Like X-Men?
Yes.
What? I didn't even realize that, because her hair.
Yeah.
Like her hair was taking a lot
from, I know, you. The hair and the clothes.
It was very distracting.
Distracting, but.
Yeah, distracting, yeah.
But yeah, she's wearing X earrings. Like, she got earrings and they got X's. They're circles.
Right.
With X's in.
Just like the X-Men.
Just like the X-Men.
How far along before, you know, that movie to X-Men?
I want
to
say this was like 3 years. They probably started shooting it in 99.
Yeah.
Because it came out in 2000. So it was probably like, it was like 2 years.
Right.
You know,
or so, you think like maybe the movie production took longer back in the day? Because right now it's just like hotcakes. You know, it comes out.
Usually they shoot like a year in advance, mm-hmm. and then they put it out.
Right.
You know, so I probably say like they started shooting the movie in 99.
Or do you think that she knew she was gonna have her, like she got a role? She
probably
as X-Men.
Yeah, she probably got the role like a year later.
And she wanted to represent.
Yeah.
You know,
she probably got the role like a year later, but. Anyway, yeah, the girls go to L.A. They see LL Cool J in the airport. Nothing really comes from it. You know, like, it's a, right. just a pointless LL Cool J cameo.
Yeah, it's a lot of cameos where you get to see, like, you know, Heavy D and all the other stars and stuff like
that. Yeah, there's
that.
There's a lot of athletes,
athletes, right?
I'm trying to remember if there were any athletes in this film. I don't think there were any athletes in this film.
I know it was a lot of 90s.
It was a lot of
rappers and singers at the time.
Yes.
And they're supposed to be, you know, these ladies from Atlanta, Georgia, from the South. They've never been anywhere. Like, there's never been close up to a celebrity, so they didn't really know how to act and stuff. They even came to L.A. with a L.A. etiquette book so they can, you know, be cordial and professional and stuff like that.
Right.
Like, kind of, I don't know. I mean, it was, I wouldn't say it was stereotyping, whatever, but it was harmless.
It was harmless. Yeah.
I think it was harmless. What do you think?
And I'll probably get into that as it goes along. Mm-hmm. You know, because, like, I don't think I've really established the character.
Right, me neither.
From either of them, because I got it. I didn't want to go into this movie knowing a lot of people, what a lot of people think about this movie.
Right.
I didn't want to have that on me.
Right.
I wanted to form my own opinion.
Right.
You know, to be like, I don't want to be like, oh yeah, this movie's trash. You know, like, oh yeah, they're depicting a ghetto stereotype.
Well, I don't think they're ghetto. I think they're country.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Yeah.
But
a lot of people think it's ghetto.
Yeah, a lot of people do think it's ghetto, but they forget it's not the urban type of ghetto. It's just pretty much the dirty South, like the down South,
yeah,
kind of thing. Everybody had grills.
They even had
a club called
Gold. It was called the Gold Tooth.
It was called the Gold Tooth.
Yes,
everybody was in there with the Gold Tooth. I wouldn't necessarily say like everybody in the South wear gold tooths or something, but it's kind of like a fashion that they do in the South. You know what I mean?
Right. I am from the South,
think,
so.
me personally, I think it was harmless. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now that you get the culture and stuff like that, the dirty South culture and everything like that, it's not what you would say ghetto per se or stereotypical, whatever. I just think that's the culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And yes, it's supposed to be in a comedic sense. whatever.
Right.
So it's supposed to be extra. The hair is supposed to be bigger.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be down south, dirty south, fabulous. You know what I mean? It's supposed to be like that. They're supposed to have like the country twang and stuff like that. So I get it. I totally get it. Whatever. I just don't get the part where they act like they've never been anywhere. Because mm-hmm. this is Atlanta. This is supposed to be like the Mecca for like successful black
folks. I don't know.
It's always been like that.
I don't know about that in 97. I'm not sure about that in 97. I think in 97 is when they were starting to bubble.
Well, I think that's where people realize.
Yeah, it's when
but
they started.
I think it's always
in mainstream
been
culture.
A
I think that's
place.
When they started to bubble.
Yeah, I think it's always been a place, you know, where the best music come from, the best artists come from. You know what I mean? And you can have your business there. You know, it's always been like that. You know, it's just those two girls were just waiters. You know, working in a black owned. You know, a restaurant. You know what
right.
I mean? So it's like,
right.
so if you think about it, it's always the club was black owned, you know, the restaurant was black owned, you know, so it's like, it's always had that, you know.
Oh, yeah, Atlanta's black wonderland. So,
yeah,
you know,
Atlanta's
so,
always
you know,
been black wonderland. So, it's just what they were trying to do was outside of Atlanta. And
right.
what they wanted to do happened to be in another. Location, which is in LA.
True. So. Can I be a man for a minute?
Go ahead.
Halle Berry fine in this movie.
Oh, she is. She's very pretty.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh god, Halle Berry. Even in the club scene. Mm-hmm. The club scene, she got that that skin tight like pleather suit on or whatever.
I had no idea.
That pleather cat suit. She got that pleather cat suit on. And then, like, she, like the scene where, like, she's yelling at her boyfriend or something like that. Mm-hmm. She's arguing with her boyfriend, and she turns around.
And
she
going up,
walking
stairs.
Up the steps. Good Lord. Oh, my God.
I didn't know she had a wagon back there.
She is dragging a wagon behind her.
I did not know all that.
Good Lord.
Wow.
Yeah, man. She there's a lot of women
mm-hmm.
that, like, they're put on a pedestal, and they don't deserve it. I don't think she's one of those women.
Really?
I don't think she's one of those women. I think she deserves every pedestal she put on.
I think she's out there like she's mainstream beauty.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying that there's a lot of women that they put on a pedestal, and I'm like, ah, she alright.
Yeah.
You know, but like, you know, like Halle Berry is one I'm just like, yeah, she deserved it. You know,
right.
Like, she deserves all the praise. All the praise she get, she deserve it. But
and
yeah,
Mickey, she's like the adorable friend.
Yes,
like she's very adorable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I take her down too.
But you know, like, but, like her character is like she's really adorable.
Yeah.
She's sweet. She's very supportive of her non-talented friend, Lucy.
Right.
She is not talented, no whatsoever. But, you know, she has big dreams, and obviously at the end, she follows it. We get to that, so.
Yeah, so, but anyway, they go to the audition. They're outside doing, like, horrible dance moves.
Right.
On the outside.
That no one knows.
Yeah.
Not even the South can recognize what they do, you know.
Yeah,
so.
It was like, what was that? Like, you were talking about the hair.
The hair, yeah. I think it had like, what's her name? Mickey. Mickey yeah. had like this hair,
yeah,
that feathered out,
looked like a peacock,
right? And it in the back, it had what was it? Bam.
It
what
said
was it?
Booyah.
Oh, it was called Booyah because she always say Booyah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because they had that scene where they were on the plane going to LA, and like her hair was blocking everything.
Yeah, and so was Niecy's hair was blocking. So she had like this crown kind of hat.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
It looks like the hat that you know flight attendants use too, in a way. That was kind of funny how she's in the plane, but it kind of shaped like the flight attendant. The flight attendant's hat.
Yeah.
That you've seen from Fifth Element.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where
yeah.
it actually had the bob, the blonde bob that goes with it
yeah.
plus the blue hat, but hers was all hair.
Yeah.
And she had like diamonds, like crowned up in there and stuff like that.
Whatever. Yeah, it was really crazy. But anyway, they go to the audition. They don't get picked.
Obviously,
they don't get picked. Some just random guy comes up to them.
Yeah, the limo driver.
Yeah, he's a limo driver, and he takes them to a mansion, and he offers them $10,000. We don't know what for at this time, and they go.
And $10,000 is a lot for them because they've been waiting. They've been waiters for so long,
right?
So they're like, "Where he at?" You know. So they get in the car,
yeah,
and they change their hair and their wardrobe in the car. I think they changed their outfit and their hair like 3 times in the same day.
Yeah, they did. But this is the thing about
which that is, you know, normal. I know women who do that.
Yeah.
You know, they change their outfit when they leave the house, and then they go to school, they change their outfit and their hair, and then they have an outfit after school. So I've seen it happen, you know what I mean? So it's like pretty normal.
But this is the thing. You're out in LA. Mm-hmm. Some guy comes up to you. Some guy you don't know. Offers you $10,000. And then he takes you away in a limo. How do you know this guy's not a sex trafficker?
Right.
You know, he could be taking you to a sex den or something. You know,
right.
Selling you. He could be taking you to a van. They could gaffle you up, put you in a van, you know, take you elsewhere and just like sell you for money.
Yeah, and that was the idea I kind of didn't like, where, you know, like they don't know any better when it comes to the big city, knowing that Atlanta, Georgia itself is a city itself.
It's a city as well, yeah.
Right, you know what I mean? So that was the part I was like, okay.
It was like, they're not LA smart.
They're not LA smart.
Yeah, type of shit.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, he brings them to the mansion. They meet this guy named Isaac. Mm-hmm. He tells them a story about his uncle. His uncle's dying of cancer. Mm-hmm. And then he tells the girls that his uncle was down with the brown, pretty much.
Right. Yeah, he tells a story about his dad. I mean, not his dad's uncle.
Yeah, it's his uncle.
And it was a waitress. Not a waitress. What did you call
no,
her?
No, she was the maid. She was the maid. Yeah, she was the maid.
The maid of the household.
Yeah.
He fell in love with the maid of the household, and they had him marry off to someone else because they weren't down with the squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then that was it.
Yeah, that was it. So pretty much his uncle was down with the brown. He liked the chocolate.
Right.
And he wants Niecy to pretend to be his long lost lover's granddaughter.
Right.
Pretty much for $10,000. And so we go to see Isaac's uncle, who's named Mr. Blake Moore, who's played by Martin Landau. And it just all came rushing back to me, and I was just like, Martin Landau is in this movie. Why? Because this is like him like coming off winning an Oscar.
Right.
He had not just won it, but like he, like the Oscar is still on him. You know, like he's still like he, because he had won an Oscar for his movie called Ed Wood. Mm-hmm. With Johnny Depp. And, like, he won an Oscar for that. And usually when you go to win an Oscar, like, movie roles just open up for you. You know, like, just,
and
like...
And he gets baps.
And he gets baps. Like, it's like, why are you in this? It's like, you were in North by Northwest with Cary Grant. You were in Cleopatra with Elizabeth Taylor. He was on the original Mission Impossible. he was in the original Mission Impossible. And then he won an Academy Award for this movie. And the next thing you do is Babs. You know? So and I was just like, why? Why?
Well, it could be a lot of reasons. Maybe he knows the director.
Him and
want to help him out in his movie.
Him and Robert Townsend kick it, maybe.
Probably.
I don't know.
And, you know, work is a work, a job is a job, and he loves acting regardless of what role. You have to realize those were the times mm-hmm. where actors really, it was all about the art. It wasn't about, well, I want something better now, I got something, or I'm a big star. Like, because a lot of actors did at the time. They always play like really good movies and win Oscars, and then play really bad movies, or just, you know, any movie that you wouldn't think that they would be in, because it was all about the job. It was all about doing what they love,
I guess.
And it seemed like he had fun. Oddly, it seemed like he had fun in that movie.
Yeah, fun doing it.
He had fun. He really enjoyed playing the old man in Babs.
Okay. Halle Berry is fine. Did I mention that?
They probably could help too. Could get the dads.
Yeah,
Halle Berry.
I guess.
Spend time with her.
Yeah, but Halle Berry's fine. That's another thing.
That could actually help him too. So.
But yeah, then they had like the dinner scene. Well, like, they had the dinner, and, like, the dinner was kind of dry.
Right.
You know, so we had our obligatory, hey, the fat black girl can cook.
Right.
Scene. You know, they show her cooking and shit like that. And that scene didn't really go anywhere. It was just showing that she can cook.
Right.
Pretty much.
Like, she could throw down the kitchen.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. And I mentioned that Halle Berry is fine. Okay, moving on. Then we go to like this little part of the house, and we find out that Isaac is plotting. Isaac out here plotting in these streets, plotting against his uncle, mm-hmm. trying to get that money.
Trying to get the bag.
Trying to get that bag.
Trying to get the bag.
He in there looking like an evil supervillain. And he's like, I'll get it all. It'll all be mine. All this bullshit. But then Mickey gets caught up with the limo driver. Mm-hmm. His name Antonio.
Yes.
And he tells her all this bullshit about her, about him like having money and he needs to get to it and all this shit. Sounding like a goddamn African email scammer. You know. Yeah, like, I got all this money. And so, like, they get into it. So it turns out, like, he's in cahoots with Isaac. Mm-hmm. He out there stealing and thieving and trying to get the, pretty much trying to set the girls up. Pretty much.
Wow. That part, I didn't get that part.
That was pretty much it. He was trying to, like, Isaac was trying to set the girls up to take the fall, pretty much. He was trying to have a fall guy for some reason. I don't know. It didn't make any goddamn sense. Right. It really didn't. I was like, why?
I thought it was, like, at the last minute. I thought that he was there to steal the money. And then when the girls came to see what was going on, then they beat him up. And then the cops, or should I say, the nephew came, and he was all like, come on, it's us against them. I don't think that was the whole plan.
Oh, man, Isaac stole them out, man. Isaac was a snitch.
Right.
Isaac was snitching.
Yeah, he threw him under the bus.
They're like, they was in something together. And then, Tracy the lawyer shows up, played by actress named Troy Bear. Mm-hmm. She was also in, what was she in? Cause she was in another. She was in Five Heartbeats.
Yeah, she was in Five Heartbeats.
She was in Five Heartbeats. Yeah, so that's how he knows her. She's also, I found out, the writer of this film.
She's the writer.
Yes. She wrote this movie.
Wow, I did not pay attention to the beginning credits, did I?
Yeah, she wrote this movie, and so she shows up and tells Blake Moore about he's like trying to blackmail him to get some money or something. Like, the plot to me makes no sense at all.
It doesn't.
All I know is, like, nephew trying to get money. That's all I know.
And he was gonna use Niecy's character. That part didn't make sense.
It didn't make any sense.
If he just wanted to get the money, he could have just, I guess, got it. What was the whole point?
I don't know. I don't know. It's a plot hole, I guess. I don't know. Halle Berry is fine. That's all I know. But moving on.
So he's going to give her $10,000 to play as...
The
granddaughter of his ex-lover. And somehow that was supposed to help him get more money. That part, I am definitely confused.
Anyway, yeah, they take... After that, they...
But you know, a lot of movies were like that at the time.
Yeah.
It didn't make no sense in the 90s.
It didn't make any sense. But they take...
There was a lot of students who felt English class at the time, so they didn't know how to...
Right.
...come up with a good plot.
Right. But anyway, they take Mr. Blakemore dancing. Right. He gets a little winded. Mm-hmm. And they take him home. And he and Niecy have, like, this... Just, like, really... heartfelt speech. Like, they had this heartfelt conversation in the limo on the way home. Mm-hmm. You know, and I gotta say, Martin Landau is acting his ass off.
Right.
I mean, like, he even gives, like, a little tear. Like, he has, like, a little tear coming down his face. I was like, wow, he is really acting.
Because I'm about to get another Oscar off of Babs.
Like, I'm trying to get another Oscar.
Off of Babs now.
Wow.
Check this out.
I don't like how they kind of treated him in this movie. It's like, I mean, not like the characters, mm-hmm. but like how they treated him in the movie. It's like they kind of treated him like a prop more than a person. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like a MacGuffin. Mm-hmm. You know, like they didn't really treat the character like a person.
Because he was kind of like an afterthought, too, in a way.
Yeah, he was an afterthought. Because, like, he probably got, like, maybe, like, 4 or 5 scenes in this movie.
Right.
You don't see him very often. I was like, wow. I was like, wow, he's really acting his ass off. And then, Niecy and Mickey kind of get a little bit of regret. They get a little, you know...
Regret of $10,000.
Yeah, they get a little guilty.
Which that wasn't even enough back in the day. Yeah. And on top of that, once they go back home, if they would have went back home broke, they'd be worse than what they've already started.
Right.
You know, so.
But yeah, they start feeling a little guilty about being there, you know, like... It's like they're waiting for a man to die so they can get $10,000. Pretty much.
I know, right?
But yeah, anyway. And then there's a scene with like Halle Berry's like in front of a. She's in front of like these lights. And like she's got this long gown on and she just got white hair.
Very pointless scene.
But I was looking at that scene. I was like, damn. I wonder if the people that made X-Men. Saw Babs. You know, I'm just wondering that. I was just wondering if they saw Babs and he saw that scene. They was like, there's our Storm.
Right, because she had the blonde hair. And she was wearing the X-Men earrings that Storm wears.
Yeah, man, I wonder if they saw that. And they were just like, there's our Storm right there.
Or maybe she set that up. You know, who knows? So
that'd be funny. It'd be like, she got X-Men. Off of Babs. It's not that far apart in years, you know, so. It's not that far apart in years between doing Babs and doing X-Men, you know, so. But
she was hustling.
Yeah. But anyway, Blakemore dies. You know, Blakemore dies. Niecy and Mickey get the money. Mm-hmm. They open up a shop or whatever. You know, help their boyfriends out still, which I didn't like. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that part. Cause like the boyfriend show up at the end. They were talking about how sorry the boyfriends are and shit. And the boyfriend show up and they get the money and they still help their boyfriends out pretty much. You know, like they didn't really get it on their own.
Right. I understand.
You know, I just didn't like that at all. But yeah, they get the money. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, they I gave triple it the amount, and he was all like, I'm going to give these two girls who I know they're not descendants of my ex-lover.
Yeah, because he finds out.
Strangers.
Yeah.
He finds out. Well, because the ex-lover couldn't have kids. Yeah. So that's how he knew. but he still went ahead and gave them money. He gave his inheritance to them, and it was $100 million apiece.
Right.
And then the nephew, zero.
Yeah, he didn't get nothing. Get your ass up out of here, Isaac.
And then he gave his butler the rest.
Rest, yeah.
You know, the house, and like they normally do. They give the butlers everything.
Yeah, usually the butler did it. But but anyway, yeah. But for me, overall, this movie, I hate to say it, but like this movie was kind of like watching paint dry.
It was.
I was just watching it, and I was just like, there's no plot. You know, it's just a bunch of random things happening. Just a bunch of random things on the screen.
Right.
And like, just like, they're like, hey, here's Halle Berry. You like looking at Halle Berry, right? Here's Halle Berry. But anyway, yeah. But that's how I felt about the movie. And I think I'll give my score right now.
Oh, God.
Okay. I'll give my score Let's for this. Nice. I'll give my nice. Score. I'm going to give it. I gotta give it a 1, baby.
Oh my God. 1 out of what?
I gotta give it a 1 out of 5.
Okay, okay.
I was
gonna say
1
out of
10. No, because my score is 1 out of 5. Come on. Don't act like you ain't been here before. But, it's 1 out of 5. And I'm probably not gonna watch this again. That's my, because I scale on rewatchability, and it's not rewatchable. What's the reason, the only reason to watch it for? Halle Berry. I can watch Halle Berry in any movie, pretty much. You know, I can watch her in better movies than this. So,
well, my mom likes the movie, so.
Yeah. What's your score?
I gotta give it a score.
Yeah, you gotta give it a score. 1 through 5.
I'm gonna say 3 out of 5.
You gonna give it a 3 out of 5? Well, that's your prerogative.
Yeah, so, I'm gonna give it a 3 out of 5.
That's your prerogative. That's pretty much it. That was my review of BAPS. Be back next week with another review. Peace.